TSN 1200 presents the Jim K. Ford Lincoln postgame show. Coming up, a complete analysis of tonight's game, including calls, texts, and emails. But first, tonight's three stars, brought to you by Canadian Tire, Canada's Garage.
Well, that was fun. Ottawa Senators with a 5-4 overtime victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Senators postgame show. Lee Versage and American Hockey League Hall of Famer and Eastern Ontario Under-18 Coach of the Year, Brad Smith. Brad, every game is a story.
Yep.
This one was one that I haven't seen maybe ever, or certainly in a very long time. This game completely dominated by the home team. They outshot them by a 4-1 count throughout the entirety of the hockey game, yet Philadelphia found a way back in. They go to overtime. They hit the post in overtime. And you think, oh, my God, they're going to lose this game. How is it possible they're going to? Oh, the guy who's been the best player on the ice all night gave them a gift in Sandstrom, and DeBrincat wins the game in overtime.
Yes, he certainly did in overtime there. A little gaff behind the net, and DeBrincat, who had himself a game with six shots and a goal and a fight, of all things, buries it. And you'll take those all day long. Yeah, it looked like that game was in the bag, Lee, and you got to keep playing. And that all started with the Flyers getting a second goal on a high cycle where there was a little bit of a mix-up between DeBrincat and Holden. And bang, it's in the back of the net. And that just gave the Flyers, who had zero momentum up until that point, had seven shots on goal up until that point, gave them a little bit of life.
And then they come back in and end up scoring a couple of more to get it to overtime. I mean, the shot count in the game is 46-11. Brad, now I know the Flyers hit a couple of posts, but this game was one-way traffic the entire way. If you told people, yeah, 5-4 in overtime, a physical game, lots of fights, you'd think it was this back-and-forth, almost playoff-esque game where it had the intensity of a playoff game, but the one-way traffic was something that we just haven't seen.
No, for sure, and they kept pressing and pressing, and you know, Felix Sandstrom was exceptional up until that last goal where he mishandled the puck behind the net, but Ottawa had glorious chances, and you thought when Claude Giroux did his patented snapshot top right at the beginning of the third period to make it 4-1, you thought that was lights out for a team that was struggling to contribute any sort of offense like the Flyers were. You thought that was the end of the line for them, but Ottawa let them back in the game, and that's what momentum does for you.
I mean, you played in so many different circumstances. Momentum's a funny thing. It almost felt like Philadelphia was going to tie the game late in the game. I don't know why it felt like that, but it's probably because of the shots on goal, right? I mean, 11 shots on goal. They had four goals on Cam Talbot.
Yeah, and you see the cycle there where Tippett scores, and three or four plays before that, and you're just like, get it out. And if you have to ice it. But it didn't happen, and he buried it. And you also look back at some of the plays, like there were three breakaways for and a partial 2-on-1 for the Sens in that period where either the Sens elected not to shoot and make an extra pass, or Sandstrom made a big save, and he made plenty of them tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he was terrific. One of the other storylines, lots of storylines in this game, and we look forward to, you know, getting to the phone lines at 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. You can text in at 12-1200. Unfortunate injury, so we'll find out a little bit more here, hopefully, maybe not, from DJ Smith. We're going to hear from the coach momentarily, but both Travis Hamonic and Derek Brassard with injuries that did not look great.
Two veterans that have contributed to the Sens' better second half here, and especially Hamonic. You hate to see him go down like that. And we were kind of watching the Watson goal as he picked up the puck in the slot, but Hamonic got taken into the boards awkwardly and needed help off the ice. And you know, he's definitely not a player that that stays down, and is definitely a workhorse for this team. So you hope it's not too serious.
Yeah, I did end up seeing a replay and I don't know if it was a Charlie horse or kind of a knee into the leg area.
Yeah.
That, you know, you could tell right away. I didn't catch who the player was, but the player kind of turned back, Brad, right away and went kind of, I'm sorry. Like, it, you could see they didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, might have been inadvertent, but you're hoping of the two, of the ankle and the Charlie horse, you're hoping it's a Charlie horse where you can flush it out and it's muscular.
Right.
And with the volume of games here, with the Sens having seven left here, they need that particular player.
And for Derek Brassard, I mean, he's been, I think, an incredible story all year long for this team. I mean, coming in on the PTO, playing 1,000 games, doing what he did in that game number 1,000 was fairly incredible. I think he's been a bright light for this team, and I can tell you that watching him, hearing him, it didn't look good. We're going to go down now and hear from the head coach, DJ Smith.
Off a little bit in the third, you know, and, you know, when they got chances, they went in the net.
Can you update us on the injured players?
Yeah, both guys, not good. Doesn't look like at this point. We'll know more in the morning, but, you know, neither were able to return, and doesn't look like they'll be able to return anytime soon, but we'll know more in the morning.
Just how that third period played out.
No, I just think I didn't like the penalty. I didn't think it was a penalty, and then, you know, they, you know, just shot it, deflected or whatever, went in the net, and then, you know, we, you know, kind of lost sight of the puck there. We didn't stop in front or whatever happened, and, you know, games, sometimes that happens. You know, you dominate the game, you have the puck the whole game, and then, you know, you make a couple mistakes and you start to squeeze it. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. At this time of the year, we got 2 points. We're moving on. We did a lot of really good things. You can sit here and try and come up with, you know, some of the negative. Our guys stayed with it. We could have scored plenty of goals. We had a 2-on-0 in the third. We had a breakaway. We had a lot of really good efforts by a lot of guys.
What do you think of Clevin for
this
first game?
I thought he was great. Big guy, long, rangy, shoots it. You know, it is his first game, so you got to be careful. But I was really impressed just at the size and his ability to move pucks and get pucks to the net.
Looks like Hamannik now for an extended period of time. We're ready to know Shabbat, ready to know Chicken. How difficult is this going to be? Like this weekend now, back-to-back games here, down three of your...
Yeah, you know, we're hoping for good news. I'm always thinking on the positive side. We're hoping for good news that Ridley can play maybe. If Ridley's able to play, obviously he goes in. You know, I'll talk to Pierre and see what we're doing on the back end. If Hammer, you know, indeed can't go, you know, someone will come up and have to fill the void. We don't really have time to worry or think about it. We just hope a guy comes up and does what he's got to do. Yeah, for sure. And those are tough games. You give up nothing, 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 and then, you know, you get a tip and it goes in the net, or nothing, nothing, and then a tap in there at the end. So. He's been really good for us. You know, we're going to need him down the stretch here. So he's a pro, and he works, and he'll be ready the next time he goes.
What's going through your mind when you see a skilled guy like Alex Nabrinkit dropping ones?
Well, I didn't see what started. I mean, he's an honest player. Right? He plays hard every night, but he's not a fighter, and he's a goal scorer. We know that as he wins the game for us tonight. But obviously, you know, something happened where they took a liberty, and he stood up for himself. And you know what? You know, I didn't know he could fight, but clearly he can. But that's not something we want. But you know what? He came and he gave us everything he had. He had emotion. You know, that's a tough team over there. They play hard every night. And our guys stood right in there.
All right, next coach.
Thank you. All right, well, there is head coach DJ Smith. What'd you think of some of the comments? Didn't sound great for Hamannik or Brassard.
No, it didn't sound Coach didn't sound optimistic about either case and mentioned a call-up already. So you can expect there'll be a call down to Belleville, and it's accurate. You don't have time. You've got seven games left here, and, you know, and until you're mathematically out, he's going to keep pushing. And I like that he's going to move on from this. I mean, you got your 2 points, and you go forward here. Obviously, you don't love the goaltending performance, but you did a lot of good things to create that many chances on the Flyers. So, and in terms of the DeBrincat, he's probably pretty proud of him for doing that. He's a small guy that's got a quick stick that's not a fighter by any means, but yeah, you got to stick up for yourself sometimes, and he certainly did there, and he scored at least a draw there, and with that scrap.
Well, I think you listen to DJ Smith and you watch the fight with Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah.
He's done that before. Like
oh, yeah.
He didn't
yeah.
look completely out of place. Oh, I'm going to stand up for myself, but I have no idea what I'm doing. He looked like he completely knew what he was doing, and I think it sent a little message across. Like he probably doesn't fight very often, but again, I thought he held himself very, very well.
Well, it certainly does when your skilled guys, and he's considered a skilled guy here, become that engaged that they do something like that. That means all your chips are in.
All right, well, let's take a look at the TSN 1200 Santa Bear Barbecue Out of Town scoreboard and get you up to date on the other ones that you want to know around the league. And a little bit of bad news here at Brad Smith. I don't know why you get me to deliver all this bad news, but the Pittsburgh Penguins did win 2-0 at home over the Nashville Predators. Tristan Jarry with a 27-save wow. shutout. And the usual suspects, I think, if you don't think of Crosby and Malkin, you think of Zucker and you think of Gensel.
All the time. 34 goals for Gensel, and that's just that's ordinary for him at this point.
Yeah. So those two with the goals, and that puts Pittsburgh in a better position. It also hurts Nashville. They were 3 points back of a playoff spot with two games in hand. So Nashville had a lot to play for tonight. We were joking during the broadcast, but again, I think Keith Tkachuk, who I did see here at the rink tonight,
yeah.
Keith Tkachuk, who went on TSN 1050 in Toronto, I think wanted to fire up the Florida Panthers and wanted to fire up a whole lot of people,
yeah.
including Paul Maurice. Might have got the job done. Called them soft, called them, went on and on about how Ottawa plays the right way and Florida doesn't. Well, since then, Florida Panthers, they beat the Leafs in overtime. And they turned around on a back-to-back and beat the Montreal Canadiens by a score of 5-2 tonight. So Florida gets themselves a couple of wins here in the last few days. The Lightning beat the Capitals by a score of 5-1. The Devils 2-1 over the Rangers. And the Boston Bruins won in overtime 2-1 over Columbus. Games that are still going. Detroit just has beaten Carolina by a score of 3-2. That's just ended. The Blues lead the Blackhawks 3-1 at the end of 40. The Oilers have an opening goal against the LA Kings at the end of 1. The Ducks and Kraken, Golden Knights, and San Jose still have yet to drop the puck. And it's opening day in Major League Baseball. And Brad?
It's a good start.
Up 3-0. Up 5-3. Up 8-7, down 9-8, but come back with two in the top of the ninth inning. And the Toronto Blue Jays defeat St. Louis Cardinals 10-9. How's that for an opening day?
You take it and move along. Manoah's not probably happy with his performance, but they're 1-0, and lofty expectations for the Toronto Blue Jays this year.
Lofty expectations for the Ottawa 67s as they go into their playoff run. Game one, they had to play at the Slush Puppy Center because of the curling that's coming into TD Place from Saturday to next Sunday. New rink, no problem for the Ottawa 67s. How about outshooting Oshawa 56-16? Their game, outshooting their opponent, not as close as this one.
No, they've had their way.
7-0,
yeah.
The final for the Ottawa 67s.
Yeah, and they know that rink a little better than the Jens would, because they played a couple of regular season games there this year against the Olympique. But
who also have a great shot at going quite far.
Number one in the country.
So, good start here for the Ottawa 67s. We're going to take your phone calls at 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. Your text at 12-1200. Your thoughts on this one. A lot of things going into a 5-4 overtime victory for Ottawa, where they completely dominated. They did lose a couple of guys, a lot of fights, some ejections as well, and some superstars coming up at the moment to make sure that this team was able to pull out a victory. 5-4 in overtime. Back with more of the post-game show. You're listening to the Ottawa Senators TSN 1200 Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Time to check out the play of the game.
Here's DeBrincat, scores! Sandstrom comes out to play the puck, gets caught, and DeBrincat buries it. 5-4, Ottawa wins it in OT.
Meow!
Well, in a game that had everything, the overtime winner was even a little bit of a letdown. As good as Felix Sandstrom played, he was incredible. End up giving the puck away in overtime to bring it into the empty net. And the Senators pull out a game, well, they deserved, 5-4 in overtime. Dominating on the shots, 46-11. We're all over the Flyers, but let the Flyers kind of back in it in the third period and found a way to win. Time for the three stars, brought to you by your local Canadian Tire stores. Brad, star number three.
Star number three, we went with Claude Giroux, who had a goal and was 9-for-15 in the circle, and just a consummate thorn in the Flyers' side here, which you could expect to, because that's his former team, but also was instrumental in the Stutzla goal, even though he didn't pick up an assist. But hard-working performance by Claude Giroux of the Ottawa Senators.
All over the place tonight. Very, very noticeable. Star number two?
Not Felix the Cat, but Felix Sandstrom of the Philadelphia Flyers. And how do you give a second star to somebody who's given up five goals? It's pretty easy, because he had some point blank opportunities where you thought it was in the net, and he stoned the Senators, especially the first half of the game. So we settled in on Felix Sandstrom, the goaltender for Philadelphia, as our second star.
I almost feel bad for him, because he was number one the entire way. But when you give away the game, literally, and just give it away, it's hard to make that guy the number one star, even though he was incredible tonight. So if Felix Sandstrom is not the number one star, who is?
We went with Tim Stützle, and goal and assist, and well over 20 minutes of ice, and just dynamic every time he touched the puck offensively. And he was targeted tonight, and something that doesn't come through in the stats or the analytics is that he played through it and kept on trucking. So we settled in on Tim Stützle, who's got now 37 goals. He's still playing, Lee, on his entry-level contract. There's your number one star.
Tim Stützle, Felix Sandstrom, Claude Giroux are three stars. And I would agree, what does not show up on that stat sheet is the fact that he had some massive runs at him in the first period. And I don't know if I've seen that of a team like target him the way the Flyers targeted him in the first period tonight. And he not only stood up, he got even better. As this game went along, he scored the goal in the second period. And that response from Tim Stützle, to me, is another checkmark into the development and the maturity of what is turning into just an incredible superstar here in Ottawa.
Absolutely. He got engaged himself and threw five hits. So there's your number one star. And now on to the hardest worker.
You're just going to throw to yourself, eh? Okay, good, good.
Boy, I changed my mind on it.
You're going to ask yourself the question, and you're going to answer the question.
Because we got so late to the stars, I changed my mind. It was DeBrincat with the goal and the fight, and I love the fight. But
you're going to take the hardest worker away from a guy that never gets in a fight, got in a fight, held his own, maybe even won the fight, scored the overtime winning goal, and that guy... God, I can't wait to hear.
Look who I'm substituting him in for.
Okay.
Is a guy who played his first NHL game and logged over 17 and a half minutes of ice, picked up his first NHL point, was a plus player, and looked more and more comfortable as the game went on. Settled in with Tyler Kleben.
Maybe the only guy you could have come up with that I would have been okay here.
Okay.
Look, first NHL game, nerves are going crazy. Yeah. He does the hot lap, everything else. He gets out there in the first shift that he has. First NHL shift, and not he, but the line that he was on, gives up a breakaway.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be hard to come back from. And he showed some maturity. He showed that he stepped up and made some plays in the first period. He did get better as the game went along. As you mentioned, he got a point. And if that were me, I'd just be cowering in the room for the entire time. If I my first NHL shift, I gave up a breakaway, and he took it in stride and just kept going. And you heard DJ Smith talk about him, so I think it's a good pick.
I think, yeah, and he's a DJ Smith type of defenseman. He likes that size. He likes physicality. And when Hamonic went down, they probably didn't anticipate using him that much during the game, but he proved that he deserved it by playing that well.
All right, let's go to the phone line, 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. And Jacob is up first. Jacob, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on? Jacob, are you with us?
Oh, hey, first time caller, long time listener. Great pass, bounce back, went by the side, came up to the coming back to the bounce back. But the one thing I was wondering was Nick DeLorie came in and he kind of like showed it to the Sens. Do we have a guy on Ottawa that can show up, Nick DeLorie? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for the question, boys.
Okay, there's Jacob. He didn't really hear exactly. Like, DeLorie, he was talking about stepping up against the Senators and their response towards it, but go ahead.
Well, I thought the response was solid. And in terms, you don't want necessarily a Brady Tkachuk taking on DeLorie, and Watson did. And Kaslyk tried to, or kind of semi-did, on the way to the penalty box. So I like the group response there. He's a tough customer. There's no question about it. But I think during the second period, and you and I had mentioned after the first period that something was brewing because of guys taking runs at Tim Stützle, that it was going to become more physical. And I like the Sens' response to that aspect of the game.
Right back to the phone lines. Jeremy is up next. Good evening, Jeremy. How are you? Oh, he just dropped. Okay, I think Barry is up next. Then Barry. Good evening. How are you? Barry, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. What's your point, Barry?
How you doing there, Brad? Congratulations, Coach of the Year. That's great.
Thanks, Barry.
If there's ever a job opening with the Ottawa Senators, I think you should apply.
Not the first guy to say that today, I can tell you that, hanging around the
and
champion coach.
I like working with Lee too much. Right, and your assistant should be my friend, Dave Smart.
What a combination that would be, Barry. What's your point on tonight's game?
Well, I'll talk about the game. The Senators, of course, won the game, but like before, I want to ask Brad, today, with the young people are criticizing Paul Maurice for what he did yesterday, and of course, today, his team won. But look back 20 years ago, Mike Keenan, Bob Hartley, and John Tortorella, they all had tempers. They all won Stanley Cups. So I want to ask Brad, you played in the NHL, you played in the American Hockey League. With the young kids today, the Senators have a young kid, who's the ideal coach? Would a coach like Alain Vigneault be better than what we have, or an older coach like Barry Trotz, although he's signed up with Nashville. So that's my question for you, Brad.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Barry. And let's just talk about Brad, not the Senators. Look, we have no idea what's going to happen at the end of the year. And until some things get organized, I'm not sure we should go down that road. But let's talk about coaches that worked for you and what you and other successful teams looked at as good traits and successful coaches.
Yeah, well, I can go back to a guy like Larry Robinson had. He was a great teacher, and he had a great combination of ability to teach the game and communicate well, and also you didn't want to disappoint him, and you wanted to play hard for him. You didn't want to disappoint him, and he'd also get upset. So I look for that combination. Now, what happened in Toronto the other night with Maurice, I think there's a couple things there. First of all, Maurice is coaching this league for an eternity. But I'm surprised it took him that long to blow his top over what's happening in Florida, because what's happening in Florida is they're simply giving up too many goals against. He's coached teams that are way more defensive. And it was going on and on. And here it is in game 75, 76 or whatever in Toronto. It gets blown up. So I think with the young players today, Barry, you can pull that. You can pull that once in a while. But they're more in tune with asking why things happen as to somebody blowing up with them.
I'll take some, advice or listening to, I know it's another sport, but coaches have different, in different sports have the same philosophies. Bob Dice is the new coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. He was a special teams coach. He said in one of his press conferences when we talked to him and looking forward to watching him coach this year, he said, you know what? I don't have any. People asked him, like, what are your rules? He's like, I don't have any rules. What I have is high standards.
There you go.
And I thought that was a perfect way to kind of encapsulate what coaching is these days, right? Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to work my ass off as a coach, and I have high standards for you to come along with the ride. And if you don't meet those standards, it doesn't mean I'm going to get up and yell and scream and everything else, but that's what is going to happen.
And the biggest thing you can take away from all these guys make a lot of money, Lee. There's no question. The biggest tool you can take away from a competitive hockey player is taking away their ice time. And you see it at the highest level. You saw it with John Cooper benching guys. Those guys are Stanley Cup champs. But it had gone on 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games where things weren't happening, and he benched their best players. So who's anyone to say that, you can't bench these guys when the most successful franchise in NHL history in the last, not in NHL history, but in the last 3, 4 years that are getting those kind of results, if they do it, well, that's a pretty good roadmap to follow.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get back to the phone lines, 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. We'll get to Carlo and Isaiah and Andy and Mason. Nice. We're also going to hear from Tyler Cleven after his first.
He's got to be pumped.
NHL game. I'm pumped to hear him.
Yeah.
Shane Pinto. We're going to hear from Alex DeBrincat as well, who got in a fight, scored the overtime winner, and Brad Smith didn't even name him the hardest working Ottawa center. But it's all in a 5-4 victory here tonight over the Philadelphia Flyers in overtime. You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Senators postgame show on the home of your Ottawa Senators, TSN 1200.
You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Let's go downstairs and check things out live from the locker room.
5-4 in overtime. The Ottawa Senators made it look hard over the Philadelphia Flyers. They outshot them 46-11. Shouldn't have been this close, but it was. But they found a way to win in overtime. Lever Sage, Brad Smith with you. And before we go back to the phone lines, 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. Let's hear from the guy who played in game number one in his NHL career, Senators defenseman Tyler Cleven.
Most NHL games are probably not going to be like this, but how was that for you, your first NHL game?
Yeah, what a fun game. A lot of scraps and, they played Philadelphia style and they wanted us to get into it too. And, I felt calm out there and felt like I played my game and, got to learn the systems a little bit better, but for the first game, I thought I did pretty well.
How many shifts did it take for you to get comfortable?
I think after the first shift, first shift was a little chaotic, then I started settling in a little bit, but it didn't take very long, and I felt really good.
You guys went down to 5 defense, like you just find then, like you're not, you don't even have really time to process this, just the shifts, I imagine, came a lot quicker than maybe you anticipated.
I just played my game, and I knew that, opportunity comes in the NHL, and you try to make the most of it. And, with 5D, you got a little bit more ice time, and, tried to showcase my game a little bit more and, just try to get a little bit more experience. And, obviously it sucks when injuries happen, but, it leaves opportunity to other players, so.
It's seemed like a nice reaction from the crowd when the PA announced your first point in the NHL. Like, did you notice kind of the extra pop?
Yeah, I had a big smile on my face when that happened. Yeah, what a special moment. Yeah, it's a moment I'll never forget.
You noticed that Ryan Reynolds buzz as well?
Yeah, I mean, I don't look up at the Jumbotron too much, but yeah, I've heard a lot about that. And yeah, good to have him in the building.
So there is Tyler Cleven talking to the media after game number one. And again, Brad, I can't even imagine what the nerves would be like to come out and play your first NHL game. He talked about the first shift being a little hectic. It was a little hectic watching going on a breakaway, the Philadelphia Flyers on your first shift. And to be able to not only come back from that with Hamonic getting hurt, you're kind of forced on the ice a little bit more. He got better as this game went along, showing a lot of character in game number one.
Absolutely, and not that it's ideal that the Sens lose a defenseman in a guy like Hamonic, but allows him to play more and get into the game more. And I like how we described his first shift as being chaotic.
A little chaotic out there.
A little stressful, giving up a breakaway, but rebounded nicely. Made a nice read on the D'Angelo cross-corner dump that resulted in a transition with Batherson driving down the off wing and getting a scoring opportunity. So that probably helped settle him in. And that's always a good time to hear your name announced with your first NHL point. And to get it done early, too, is a big thing. So just a real strong effort by Cleven, and I'm sure... I'm sure we're going to see more of them here down the stretch. Especially with the circumstances that the Senators have now in Chychrun, Shabbat, and now Hamonic looks like on the shelf.
Back to the phone lines. Isaiah is up next. Isaiah, how are you tonight? What's your question?
Well, I don't actually have a question, just a couple of comments, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I honestly am just, I'm really happy. I love the Sens. I've watched every game for the last 5 years, and it's really good to see them win the winnable games like today. And, yeah, it shows a little bit of resilience. And I feel like 2 years ago, we probably would have lost this game, and I would have been miserable. So I'm loving the energy, having celebrities around, and it seems like the guys on the team like each other, which is great. If the Sens make the playoffs this year, I'm a rich man, so that'll be great. But for next year, I'm super optimistic. Like, if Norris plays the whole season, not a lot of teams can go without their number one center and do as well as we're doing, I think. Chychrun for the full season, our power play two is going to be incredible. I'm just really pumped right now and for the future. Happy the dark days are over. Thank you very much for my call.
Okay. Thanks very much, Isaiah. I hope, and Isaiah's gone now, but the Flyers hit the post in overtime, correct? So if that goal goes in, is Isaiah still as pumped? Like an inch to the right, is he still as pumped?
It's a game of inches. Yeah.
Because if that goal goes in, the Flyers would have won 5-4 in overtime with 12 shots. And you might be singing a different tune. So I understand what he's saying. Celebrities around, there's a number of different groups, potential buyers here. Ryan Reynolds gets all the fanfare, but he wasn't the only group here tonight. I can tell you that. And I think he mentioned one of the most important things, though, that I want you to comment on. Sometimes when you watch teams, you understand that they're really skilled and they're professional and they want to work together and they want to win. Then you watch other teams where it does seem like they like each other. And that's not always the case. I'm sure you played on teams that liked each other a lot, and I'm sure you played on teams that were professional enough to get by some of the guys who might not have liked each other as much. This team looks like they're growing with their core that do really have each other's backs.
Absolutely. It's a young core, and it's a young core of we'll call them 24 and under. And that's the foundation of this team. And they want to keep these guys together as long as they possibly can. And I think for the most part, the guys that they wanted, they've locked up long term here, or made commitments to, and then try to build around that. So yeah, it's a bonus. You're right, Lee. It's a bonus if the guys play well together and like each other. It's not a necessity, but it is a bonus because, you know, when you see things like the Brinkett getting in a scrap and four or five guys going over the penalty box, giving them a tap, then you're realizing there's a good team bonding there.
Look at this. That's how the cookie crumbles. Oh, yeah, we did miss you the other night for sure. Graham Creech, during the drive earlier this week, talked about as the cookie crumbles. It's like from the Jim Carrey movie.
Right.
And I know he was just saying that it made it more popular. I'm pretty sure it was a pretty big saying before that. So I kind of made fun of the guys back up. What's new on the drive? But
we guys got 4 hours together.
And then all of a sudden, he was happier than a pig. And you know what? When somebody delivered him some cookies to say they were listening, and that's how the cookie crumbles. Well, we just got some cookies, too. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Andy is next up. Andy, good evening. How are you?
Hello. Hey.
Andy, how are you?
How's it going? Pretty good.
Good.
Yourself?
Good. What's on your mind?
I got just a few comments on the game, I'd like to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say I thought Tyler Cleven had a hell of a rookie debut. You know, I thought that guy really skated well out there, and he made a lot of great plays, and he really used his 6'4" frame well out there. And my other comment I just wanted to make was with Tim Stutzel getting his 84th point of the year, is he considered now a top 20 player in the league? Like, I think that guy is just playing out of his mind right now. So I think he's due to get some respect, you know.
Well, and appreciate the call, Andy. Tim Stutz is getting a lot of respect, I think. He is growing into, and the previous caller, Isaiah, touched upon, oh, well, our number one center, Norris, is gone. And I think at the beginning of the season, Josh Norris was the number one center. Forced into the role of number one center earlier than they might have liked. Probably the best thing for me that could have ever happened to Tim Stützle. Because Tim Stützle, night after night after night, and you know that the last run that he went on, he was up against Bergeron, McDavid, and Dreisaitl, and Matthews, and Stamkos, and you go down the list, and it's like, not only really good players, like the greats right now in the league. Every night. And he is not only holding his own, but kind of outperforming. Tim Stützle, to me, is number one center on the team.
Oh, for sure. He's.
I'm sorry about Josh Norris' injury and everything else. And Josh Norris is going to be a really good player. I think Tim Stutz is number one center on the team.
Yeah, you don't get that spot back automatically by being injured the whole year. And you're, I mean, how can you argue against the Tim Stutz comments you just made? He's going to hit 90 points, possibly 90 plus points here, and the evolution continues here. And it's one of those guys that people pay to watch play.
Yep.
And for me, every time he picks up the puck and makes a dash through the neutral zone, he's pushing back the D. And this is an absolute thrill to play with a guy like that, because he pushes them back, and if you're playing wing with him, you're getting open. And you know that his edge work is so good that he's going to create separation and a tight button hook, and he'll make that pass. And he gave Tkachuk a couple of beautiful passes here in the third period on just the plays I described. So by no means, you know, I know Josh Norris scored 35 goals 2 years ago, but, you know, Tim Stutzle's got 37 now, and a whole whack of assists, and he's electrifying out there. I think for a guy, and we talked about it, third year of his entry-level contract, the big ticket kicks in next year, he's going to grow nicely into that contract.
And I hope Josh Norris comes back to make it a conversation, because if he does, this team's going to be in really, really good shape. Claudio, next up. Claudio, good evening. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Claudio.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good.
I have a couple of comments and a question. Number one, great game. I believe the Senators have had a very good season. Whether they make the playoffs or not, me as a Sens fan, I'm happy. They're progressing. I hope they do make the playoffs. but I'm optimistic. Love the show. And my question to you is this. This weekend at WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns, who do you think?
Oh, somebody just got excited, Claudio.
And it's not Brad Smith. Thanks for the phone call, Claudio. Sorry, I didn't. You know what? I'm going to pull the curtain back here a little bit.
Yeah.
We're sitting near a curtain. Pulled it back. I don't always wear a suit and tie to the games. But tonight was one of those games. Look, there's a telethon going on. You guys are in front and center. I mean, I had to kind of go, well, I'm now with the coach of the year. When the guy just won an Eastern Ontario championship with the under-18, Kempville 73s. He's off to the Nationals. He might not work with me ever again because he's next week he's gone and he's getting rid of TSN 1200 because he's going to coach in the Ontario under-18 championships.
This is why you wore a suit or
yeah,
a tie?
Yeah. Because if not, I would have worn my best Cody Rhodes shirt, and I have different ones to pick from. And I'll tell you that Cody Rhodes is going to be your new champion at WrestleMania on Sunday night. Okay?
Okay.
I would have worn my best Cody Rhodes shirt.
What WrestleMania is this coming up?
Is it 39?
Oh, I thought you'd know that off the top of your head. That's disappointing.
No, it's 39. How about that?
Okay.
You know what? I'm not, you can see, I'm not looking it up. And now someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 39. Okay. Started 1985.
Yeah.
Okay? Number one, Madison Square Garden.
When was the one in the Pontiac Silverdome? A couple years later?
2 years later, WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
Hogan and the Giant. Andre the Giant.
Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant.
He half picked him up.
Can't fake that, Lee.
You know what, Brad? We're off on a bad. Let's go back live to the locker room because I want to hear from the guy that you cast aside. I mean, he scored the overtime winner. He got into a fight. He was electric tonight. So that is Senators forward Alex DeBrincat.
Did you get more congratulations for your fight tonight or your overtime winner?
Yeah, people like the fight better. Seems like so. Yeah, I feel like whenever I get in a fight, I usually have more texts than if I do something else good in the game. So that's what the people like, I guess.
Can you walk us through kind of your mindset and what led to that that fight?
Yeah, I think it was just, we were trying to take the body there, not let them, take advantage of us. And I ended up hitting him on the boards and we got tied up a bit. And, I just saw him drop the glove. So, I'm not really scared of it. So, we went at it.
Almost reset yourselves kind of emotionally when the Broussard injury happened. Like, it seemed like it just the air went out of the balloon with how serious it looked, and then you still had almost half a game to play yet.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough to see two important guys to our team go down. It's not a easy thing to move past, but we got to do it anyways, and we got to do a better job to close that game out. And obviously, we don't want to go to overtime, but we still got the 2 points, so it's all that matters.
Are you surprised the goalie treated your way there?
I guess a little bit, but I think G was forechecking pretty hard, made him put it there, so a lot of credit to him. He got it in deep and, forechecked the goalie pretty hard to handcuff him, so, he should probably be credited with that goal.
As a group, you guys, it's 4-1, then it's 4-4 going into overtime. What's the message and the feeling on the bench after 60 minutes going into the 5-minute overtime?
Just get it done. I think, we have a lot of guys who can, put the puck in the net and control a game. And I think we kind of dropped off there for a bit in the, late second, early third and on. I think, just kind of reset and focus on getting that second point.
So there's a little bit of Alex DeBrincat. I love his confidence talking about the fight.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't. People like it, but he just sounded like a guy who could handle himself. I go back to November 17th, 2021. Yanni Gourde, Alex DeBrincat got into it. Samuel Girard and Alex DeBrincat in 2019. And Matt Irwin, Nashville, 2018. just some of the fights that Alex DeBrincat has been in over his NHL career. So this was not the first time Alex DeBrincat has dropped the gloves.
No, and he did very well in that regard and scored a big goal. And, you know, we're thinking there he's got his 25th of the year, and he's a guy that everyone's talking about because of the qualifying offer. And I think back to the slow start that he had, which somewhat mirrored the team in October, where it took him a while to score a goal, and his first one was actually in an empty net. And he's hit some posts, and by no means making mistake or making excuses for him, but you'd like to see him, and you could see him at that 35 to 40 goal range with a little better shooting percentage and a little more puck luck. But it'll be interesting to see what's done in the off season in terms of, I think he's going to stay here, but in terms of a contract.
All right, when we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. Mason is waiting. Murfrog.
Nice.
Is waiting. And nobody correcting me, Brad, because it is WrestleMania 39 coming up on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday in Hollywood. I'll have to catch some of the main event on Sunday after it happens. Why? Because I'll be on the pregame and postgame for the Ottawa Senators
nice.
In Columbus, taking on the Blue Jackets on Sunday. That's a 4 p.m. pregame, 6 o'clock start, but they got the lease first on Saturday. So not an easy task with three defensemen now down. For the Ottawa Senators. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. They survived tonight 5-4 in overtime over the Philadelphia Flyers. This is Jim K. for Lincoln Senators postgame show in the home. Your Ottawa Senators TSN 1200.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
Five forward overtime, the Ottawa Senators defeat the Philadelphia Flyers. Lever Sage, Brad Smith, and the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Senators postgame show. We're going to hear from Shane Pinto in just a minute. But first, back to the phone lines. Mason has been patiently waiting. Mason, good evening. How are you?
Oh, good. You?
Pretty good. Thanks for waiting.
So I have a comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Suns played pretty good in those first two periods. I feel like we were dominating, playing the body. But I feel like as soon as that third period started and they got that second goal, being sloppy and weren't getting that puck, weren't making any good plays. I saw the few breakaways, which were pretty good, but nothing really happened. But as soon as they got the comeback, I thought they were going to get the win. But then as soon as that overtime happened, I feel like we just came back and won it. Good.
All right, thanks very much for the phone call. Mason, just recap the game.
You know, the breakaways, I mean, Ottawa could have put this well out of reach. They had the 2-on-0. Claude Giroux had a breakaway, where I like that move. He's such a deceptive player. It's almost a fadeaway backhand against the grain, and he just went over the bar. So creative. But, yeah, that game could have been well out of reach, and... Flyers came back, but ultimately the better team won tonight.
And that's what I really like about the way that they played here tonight, is that Philadelphia tied the game early second period, had no business being 1-1. They kind of took off, got 4-1. Were they tentative in the third period? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But again, you mentioned they had a couple of breakaways. They score on either one of those, it's game over. They did get a little tentative once Philadelphia got to 4-2. I'm sure DJ Smith, as a coach, it's probably the best case scenario, certainly not to lose three defensemen like they have. But when you dominate a game, you win the game, and you still have some teaching tools, I feel like that's a win for a coach. Because no matter how well they played tonight, they can't feel good about the way that Philadelphia came back on them in that third period with some miscues, right? So you still have some teaching tools to use, even though you dominated the hockey game and were the better team almost all night long.
Yeah, no, exactly. And he'll use that in video and say, like, look, Don't worry about what we did with the puck, because we did a lot of great things with the puck. We could have scored 10 tonight. And he won't worry about that. He'll worry about maybe the second goal, where there it is again. There's that high cycle where Pinto and DeBrincat kind of got put in the same spot within 3 feet, and there's a little drop pass, and in comes a Flyer and takes a 20-foot wrist shot that beats Talbot, who was not strong tonight. Let's be very clear about that. Was not strong. He should have had the third goal. Wasn't deflected very fast either. So he's got to come up with a save there. But you're right, there are a couple teaching mechanisms, and it's a lot easier. I've been in those dressing rooms, and it's a lot better mood when the coaches are delivering that message when you've won the game previously, and they're saying, oh, good job here, but we just want to clean this up a little bit. But by the way, we still got the 2 points.
Back to the phone lines. Murfrog, how are you tonight?
Good, Lever, how are you?
Oh, nice to hear from you.
Right on. The one and only Murfrog, not Frogger.
I know. Murfrog, yeah. We've established you and Frogger over the last couple of weeks.
I know. Smitty, I just want to congratulate you there. Congrats on that.
With the coaching. Thank you.
Couple things. I thought Clevin, great rookie lap, the whole nine. He played great. Like, you know what? He's going to fit in with this decor that we have here. Once we get our two and our three back, it's going to be quite fantastic to watch this moving forward. Secondly, we all know the famous quote, right? You play to win the game. What happened there? It was a 4-1 lead. It should have been key putting it to them. Instead, we played trap D in the third period, shut it down. They're playing not to get scored on. And that's what makes that game a 4-4 game, makes that close, takes that to overtime. If we keep putting the forward pressure on there, keep the forward moving, activating the D into the rush, put men forward, keep going ahead, put pucks in the net. That doesn't even sniff overtime that game. Other than that, that's all from me, guys.
Always good to hear from you, Murfrog. I mean, you've been in countless situations like this where you've been up, and it's just human nature to, like, if you got a 4-1 lead, and the other team has, like, 7 shots. Yeah. Like, how many? Yeah, they had 6 shots before they got their second goal and their 7th shot. So you look up. It's 4-1. You're in the third period, and the other team has 6 shots on goal. 6. There's no way you think you're losing that game. And if you just kind of sit back a little bit, just make sure that nothing goes wrong. But you do, like, to Murfrog's point.
Yeah.
You kind of stop playing the way that you were playing before, but I guess it's human nature, Brad, to kind of look up and go, they're not scoring 3 goals. They got 6 shots.
No.
Well, they did.
Yeah, they did. It's unbelievable when you look back at it and you think, how did that happen? Because you're right. You're sitting on the bench, and after Claude Giroux goes down and scores early in the third period, bullet snapshot, top corner. Oh, this one's over.
Yeah.
You know, we've got 4 goals and they have 7 shots. This one's over. And you quit pushing the play forward, to Murfrog's point. And they went to a 1-2-2 very early in that third period. But they did have opportunities too. Like we just talked about a couple of minutes ago. You're expecting to bury one of those breakaways or one of those 2-on-0s to make it 4-5-2. Yeah, so it shouldn't have got to that point, but it did, and like we said, the better team won tonight.
All right, let's go back downstairs, live to the locker room, and hear from Senators forward, Shane Pinto.
Just behind you, see what's happening with Brass.
Yeah, I mean, obviously no one wants to see that. It's just, I don't know, it's disappointing, obviously. I don't really – it's just tough to watch, and, Brass is such a good guy, and you just never want to see that, and I just wish him the best. So.
And then you also lose Travis Hamonic. I mean, it felt like a weird night in many ways. And then what's it like losing two veteran guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a huge part of our back end the whole year. He's been a rock back there. And to lose him obviously didn't help at all. And a lot of guys stepped up. But obviously losing him was a big part of our team. So that was tough to see as well.
Shane, on a personal note, 20-goal mark. I'm guessing that you had goals at the start of the season, and maybe that was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you just try to go into every year and just try to, do your best. And obviously,
I wanted to, you know, score some goals, and luckily I got 20. But job's not finished. You know, we got seven left. Okay, seven left, and just gotta keep on winning games. That's all that matters, honestly. So
a little nerve wracking that this one goes to overtime.
Yeah. That third period was a little interesting, but you know, we got the 2 points, so that's all that matters.
Quite a battle move by Fire for Tyler.
Yeah. Great game. I mean, you know, he had to step up there when Hammer went down, and I thought he did a great job, and you know, he got his first point, and you know, we won. So that's all that matters, and I'm just really happy for him.
Shane Pinto live from the locker room. And, you know, as a young kid, were you ever in a situation where you saw, like, a vet go down? I'm speaking specifically about Broussard.
Yeah.
Because, to me, you know, watching what happened and watching, like, I don't know what his injury specifically is. I saw his ankle going in a direction it shouldn't be going in. He's not coming back this year.
This year.
You know, does Derek Broussard play in the National Hockey League next year? I don't know. As a young player, for somebody like Derek Broussard, you can tell the respect that the guys have for him. He comes in on a PTO. He makes the team. And with a couple of injuries up front, he starts playing.
Yeah.
And then you can't take him out of the lineup, really, because he's playing really, really well. And I think a lot of the younger guys have a lot of respect for what Derek Broussard did this year. And so I kind of heard it in Shane Pinto's voice there a little bit when you're watching a guy like that go down.
Younger guys, and all guys on teams, but younger guys specifically, like older veterans that really love the game. And you see a guy like Derek Broussard who's, you know, who loves the game of hockey.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be playing it. I don't think it's a monetary thing. He's part owner. They see a guy like Claude Giroux, who's getting a little older now. He's certainly not playing like it. But they see the fire that these guys play with, and they gravitate towards him. So, you don't like to see a player get hurt, and he probably feels for Broussard. Now, in Pinto's case, feels like he's played a lot longer or been around a lot longer. But, you know, a couple of years ago, 12 games. Hurt his shoulder early on last year. This is his rookie year. He's banged out 20 goals, and there's been some ups and downs, but he's banged out 20 goals, and he's got a sneaky good release, Lee, and he gets pucks away, and he did some good things tonight. He drew a couple penalties just by moving his feet, and for the most part, he's on the right side of the puck. So I look at this guy when this team is really churning that. He'd be a perfect number three, but his upside is a number two guy, and 20 goals is a pretty good milestone for somebody that young.
All right, we'll come back and take a look at that TSN 1200 Santa Bear Barbecue out of town scoreboard, and we'll put a wrap on what was a wild game here tonight. Not everything, celebrities. Like Brad Smith and then Ryan Reynolds
Reynolds.
And, you know, some other guys, you know, people with a lot of money, maybe potentially owning the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
Number of groups here tonight.
Telethon.
Got the telethon, raising some big time money for the Senators Community Foundation, which was awesome. I think Brad Smith made it on television. Pretty sure. So a big night and a 5-4 overtime victory in a game where you outshot your opponent 46-11. Oh, and there's fights and ejections and everything else. So it was a great night here at the CTC entertainment wise. We'll come back and look at that scoreboard. You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Senators postgame show in the home of your Ottawa Senators TSN 1200.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
5-4 in overtime. The Ottawa Senators defeat the Philadelphia Flyers. Alex DeBrincat in overtime on a gift from Felix Sandstrom, who, quite frankly, was the best player on the ice all night long until he gave the puck to Alex DeBrincat. The shot's 46-11. And the Ottawa Senators escape with a 5-4 victory. Elsewhere, the games that matter most to the Ottawa Senators Let's start in Pittsburgh. Jason Zucker is 26th of the year. Jake Guentzel, his 34th of the year. And that's it. That's all. 27 saves for Tristan Jarry. A shutout performance. Pittsburgh Penguins get a massive 2 points for them, beating Nashville 2-0.
Can't count them out. Not with as long as Malkin and Crosby are in the lineup.
Kind of joked about it before, but was it a planned thing that Matthew Tkachuk, called up, got to see his dad when he was here, staying at Brady's house, was Keith Tkachuk, the whole Tkachuk family, right? Watched Florida. They didn't play very well here. In fact, they stunk. And they stunk for a while. And I think Matthew said, you know what, Dad? Me a favor. Just go on the radio in Toronto and basically bury our team. Bury our team. It'll be good for us.
Motivation.
And that's what Keith Tkachuk did. Called him soft a bunch of times. Said Ottawa plays better and how bad Florida was and all that stuff. Since then, Florida overtime winners in Toronto. And then how about a hat trick from Matthew Tkachuk tonight? In a 5-2 win, Florida.
Yeah,
over Montreal.
Puts Matthew Tkachuk over 100 points in consecutive seasons. So he's doing his part for the Panthers.
Is he ever? Just trying to see, did he... 4-point night, too, for Matthew Tkachuk. So that's leading by example. Elsewhere, 5-1 the Lightning beat the Washington Capitals. Patrick Maroon had a couple of goals in the third period in that one. Devils, 47th victory of the year. And was this a first-round preview? Looks like it. 2-1, they beat the New York Rangers. A couple of first-period goals from the Devils. Eric Holland, Timo Meier, his 36th of the year for New Jersey.
That trade's going to pay dividends in the playoffs. Timo Meier, big strong power forward.
The Red Wings beat the Hurricanes 3-2 tonight in Detroit. St. Louis with a 5-3 victory in Chicago. The Boston Bruins had to go to overtime, but they wrapped up the President's Trophy. Who else?
Yeah.
David Pastrnak. 53 on the year.
Yeah, he's not McDavid, but he's upper echelon NHL, and he's got quite the season going.
San Jose leads Vegas 2-0. That late in the first period of play, the Kraken also with the 2-0 lead early second over the Anaheim Ducks. And the Edmonton Oilers early third period have a goal from Evander Kane. And they lead the red-hot LA Kings 1-0 that early third period. Well, the bad news for the Blue Jays is on opening day they gave up 9 runs. The good news is they scored 10, including 2 in the top of the 9th inning. Jordan Romano comes on and does close it out. The nail biter, 10-9. The Blue Jays on an opening day victory in St. Louis over the Cardinals.
That's clutch. It's clutch, 1-0.
So tonight, the Ottawa Senators, 46-11. They outshot Philadelphia. The Ottawa 67s, game one of their playoff series against Oshawa, outshot the Generals 56-16. Brad, their game not nearly as close.
No.
7-0. The Ottawa 67s making a statement early, playing at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau because of the Men's World Curling Championships. But not giving Oshawa a lot to think that they have a chance to come out and beat the 67s.
No, and they've handled them pretty regularly in the during the regular season in terms of wins, losses there. I think that's the matchup they wanted.
Game two of that series goes Sunday afternoon at the Slush Puppy Center. That same Slush Puppy Center will be in use tomorrow night for the Gatineau Olympique, who host the St. John Sea Dogs in round number one of their Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, the number one team in the CHL. Starting to get excited long way to go. Can't wait to watch some great playoff junior hockey in the city. But imagine if both teams could go to the Memorial Cup in Kamloops.
Wouldn't that be something? And you couple that with a strong Winnipeg entry out west. And, yeah, has the makings of a good Memorial Cup.
Well, and some crazy good teams out west as well in the WHL. Seattle's had themselves a heck of a year. And the host Kamloops was the number seven team in the country last week. And they hadn't lost in, as of last week, they hadn't lost in like 2 months. So teams are ratcheting it up in junior hockey. So can't wait for that. Just a final thought, Brad, on this one tonight. Injuries, fights, ejections, goals, discrepancy in shots on goal, NHL debuts. This one had it all. If you're a fan, you came to this game, celebrities standing up at the TV timeouts, this game had everything.
Yep. If you like old school hockey, then you had that in the second period with some fights and some good hits, some quality hits, and some good goals too. And you know, gets to overtime. I think you move on from the shot discrepancy, and you worry more about, okay, you do a body count in that dressing room right now and get ready for the, you know, this team hasn't thrown in the towel yet. Despite the percentage, the lack of percentage of making the playoffs, which I'm sure you're going to look up, but they're going to have to bring somebody up here because you can't run. You're running on fumes with 5D, and especially when one of them has played one NHL game. So it'll be interesting to see who they call up for reinforcements from Belleville here as they get ready to play on Saturday.
Leave Saturday, Columbus on Sunday, and you're right. The reinforcements should be coming. And defense will be interesting, right? Another opportunity for an Eric Brännström to move up the lineup a little bit more and Tyler Cleven to play a little bit more and Nick Holden, whoever else. I mean, it's you don't even worry about Jake Sanderson anymore. Like, his season has been so good, you don't even worry about it.
I worried once tonight when he took a slap shot on the upper thigh or elbow, and he was wincing for a good 30 seconds that shift, because that if there's one guy right now other than Stützle, that's a guy you cannot lose.
Well, it should be an interesting weekend here for the Ottawa Senators with the Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Is this the last time you're going to be on until you're going to your
No, be on again.
Championship week?
Maybe when I come back.
Well, that's what I mean. This is the last time you're going to be on until you go to championship week.
Looks like it. Maybe we could do something remotely. I don't know.
You don't have time for that. Coach of the year? You don't have time for that.
I'll tell you what I don't have time for. WrestleMania on Sunday.
Well, it's Saturday and Sunday, Brad.
Oh,
it's a two-night event. No, that's how big it is. That's okay. I'll catch you up on it. No problem. Always good to see you, Smitty.
Good to see you, Lee.
Cam? Great job back at 87 George Street in the market. Thank you. Dean Brown, Gord Wilson, Matt Hamer, Steve Lloyd. We're at the pregame show. I'm Lee Versage saying so long from CTC. 5-4 in overtime. The Ottawa Senators defeat the Philadelphia Flyers back at Saturday here against the Leafs. Have a great Thursday night.
This has been Ottawa Senators Hockey on TSN 1200. Any copy or rebroadcast without the express written consent of Bell Media is strictly prohibited. A live sporting event from TSN 1200.